Christ, the millennial kingdom, and we look beginning tonight what we will continue, what we started with really last Wednesday night, and that's the various conditions of the earth during the millennial reign of Christ. Now, just again, just to do a real quick little summary, the rapture's occurred, we've gone to heaven with the Lord, the 7 years of the tribulation has ended. Jesus comes back at the end of the tribulation, and we're with him on white horses. He's on a white horse. He takes out and he destroys the Antichrist, the false prophet. They're thrown into hell. Satan is bound for 1,000 years. The only folks left on earth. You remember Jesus in the book of Matthew, he says, well, all the goats went on the left, all the sheep went on the right. It's still that way today. Those on the left are goats, and those left on the right are sheep. Anyway, and so Jesus said all the goats, he sent them into everlasting hell forever. And so the only folks left on earth are us that were saved and caught up in the rapture of the church, or the dead in Christ that rose, and the tribulation saints. Those are the saints who got saved during the tribulation and weren't beheaded or killed. Those folks are still in the flesh. Body of flesh, just like we have. They not have those new bodies that you and I have, that because we're born again and we're caught up in the rapture or the resurrection. And so the only people left on earth are believers, because all the unbelievers are gone. The only people left on earth are those people that have trusted in Christ as their Savior that are still in the flesh, and those of us that are have our new heavenly or incorruptible bodies, I should say, that are now back on this earth with Jesus. Some people say, well, what will our bodies be like? Well, best thing I can tell you, what most scholars will say, is that when you look at the resurrected Savior and all the times that he was seen alive on this earth, there were times he asked, touch my hands, touch my side. Do you feel it? And you could feel him, right? And there were times he invited those to come and have breakfast with him when they come in from fishing. And he was cooking some fish, and so he was eating with them. And so he was doing a lot of things still that you think of that we do today. And yet on the other hand, when the doors were locked and the disciples were all inside, all of a sudden he came in the room with them. So there were some supernatural things there too. So all I can tell you is that we're going to be like Jesus, what the Bible tells us, okay? So we're on that earth, this earth. Now think about this. For 1,000 years, Jesus is here, and he's beginning his reign on this earth. He's in charge of all of it. There's no sinners left. Satan's not here. There's no principalities. There's no powers. There's of darkness. There's just the believers and us. Can you imagine that? It's going to be incredible. Last Wednesday night, we talked about one of the first things that describe the conditions what the earth will be like, other than the fact that Jesus is here, we're here, and there's no sin, and that is that there's going to be incredible universal joy and peace. And we touched on that last Wednesday night, how wonderful that's going to be part of that. So tonight we continue that, and I'm going to go through a few more descriptions of the characteristics of what this earth will be like during that 1,000-year reign with Jesus in charge. Now keep in mind, the Bible tells us that at the end of that 1,000 years, Satan is released one last time. He tempts some people. He gathers up some more folks to follow him. It's hard to believe, but he does. And then Jesus destroys him and his followers and puts him into hell forever, and it's all over. And then the Bible says there's a new heaven and a new earth. We'll be with Christ in that new Jerusalem. And the Bible gives a beautiful description of that new Jerusalem, the new heaven and new earth. But until then, we're on this earth. Everybody understand that? We're here for 1,000 years. We're not in heaven. We come back with Jesus to this earth. But this earth is changed dramatically from the way we know it today. It is dramatically different. Not only is there universal peace and joy, but let me begin tonight by just telling you that holiness will cover the entire earth. The earthly kingdom ruled by Jesus will be a holy kingdom, because he is the Holy Son of God. And he's in charge. And all of us that are born again, that are His saints and followers, His holiness will be in us, and it will cover the whole earth. The land will be holy. The cities will be holy. The neighborhoods will be holy. The new temple that we'll look at later in this study, it will be holy. Everything in this earth will be holy. Isaiah 4:3-4, and it shall come to pass that he who is left in Zion, you hear that expression? He who is left in Zion. All of us here, Zion is that reference to Israel, but it's also a general reference to that new earth that Jesus has come back and he's reigning. He who is left in Zion and remains in Jerusalem will be called holy. Everyone who is recorded among the living in Jerusalem, everyone, that's everybody on this earth, will be holy. When the Lord has washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion and purged the blood of Jerusalem from her midst by the spirit of judgment, by the spirit of burning. There will be a purging. All the goats are gone. That's part of that purging. They're all gone. It's just us, just believers. Isaiah 35 verses 8 and 10, it says, a highway, you know this verse, a highway shall be there in a road, and it shall be called the highway of holiness, and the unclean shall not pass over it. Holiness will be there. Just think about the whole world. Think about that, just the presence of Jesus, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and holiness everywhere you go. Go to the store. You know, somebody says, well, how do you know there'll be stores there? Well, there'll still be people here in the flesh, won't they? Just to have things to eat, won't they? Clothes to wear, right? Isn't that true? Sure, yeah, there'll be some stores. I don't know, we'll probably have to shut down Belks, honey. I'm sorry, but there'll be some stores out there. Not only holiness, but there's going to be comfort. Unlike we've ever witnessed, comfort. The King Jesus will personally minister comfort and meet every need while he's on this earth. There'll be a fullness of comfort in that day. Isaiah 49:13 says, sing, O heavens, be joyful, O earth, and break out in singing, O mountains. For the Lord has comforted his people and will have mercy on his afflicted. Isaiah 51:3. For the Lord will comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places. He will make her wilderness like Eden. That's that new transformation of this earth under the reign of Jesus. It says that he'll make her wilderness like Eden, or desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in it, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. It'll just be amazing with the comfort that'll be on this earth for us. Not only that, the Bible teaches that in the millennial reign, that there will be full knowledge. Full knowledge. You know, the scripture says we now see through a glass or a mirror dimly, and then we'll see him face to face, and we only understand in part, then we'll know. That's when we're going to know. Because the Word of God is so clear. The ministry of Jesus, his ministry and his presence, and because we're no longer just in the flesh, but the ministry of Christ is in this earth, and we're the ones that have been changed and translated into our new incorruptible bodies, there will be a full understanding and knowledge by us about what's going on and what has happened and why it's happened. There'll be full knowledge. There will be unparalleled, I think, teaching and ministry of the Holy Spirit during that thousand-year reign, so people will continually understand everything of who God is and who Jesus is. Isaiah 11:9 says, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters covers the sea. I mean, everybody on this earth is going to understand who God is, who Jesus is, what has happened, and what Jesus asked us to do, to love him, to worship him, to love and to serve one another. Isaiah 41:20, it says, That they may see and know, that means that we'll understand, and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord has done this and the Holy One of Israel has created it. Everybody will know that God's in charge, His Son is reigning, and everybody on the earth will understand that. Unlike today where you got all these different crazy ideas about God and heaven, all the stuff of what people believe. Isaiah 54:13, I made reference to this last Wednesday night. It tells us that even Jesus will teach our children. So our children will be taught by Jesus. That's pretty neat, isn't it? That's incredible. Another condition on the earth. This is exciting, folks. Think about this. The curse on the earth that came on this earth because of the sin of Adam and Eve, that curse on the earth will be lifted during the millennial reign when Jesus is on this earth. Oh, think about that. God created the earth for man, didn't he? He created the earth for man, evidenced by the beautiful garden that he created for Adam and Eve. Now, I'm going to tell you, we focus on the garden, but I believe this. Not only was the garden beautiful and special where they lived before sin, but I believe the whole earth was created with perfection. The beauty and the fruitfulness and the productivity of the whole earth was unimagined compared to what it's like today. And so the curse on the earth that brought about because of sin that changed the earth and its productivity and its fruitfulness is lifted. In fact, Isaiah 35 and verse 12, it says, "The wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them. The desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the excellence of Carmel in Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the excellency of God." And when you look at the whole earth, you'll see the glory and the excellency of God. It'll be amazing. It'll be beautiful because the curse is lifted. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 30, 23 through 24, there's going to be an abundance of rainfall. There'll be no more droughts or deserts. It says, "Then he will give the rain for your seed with which you sow the ground, and the bread of the increase of the earth. It will be fat and plentiful. In that day your cattle will feed in large pastures." There's going to be a fruitfulness and a productivity upon all the earth for everything mankind needs. Every kind of food and fruit and everything. It'll be there. There's some, by the way, I read as I did studies on the millennium, there's some ministers that preach we're not going to eat meat during the millennium. We're only going to be vegetarians again. That's kind of, you'd have to read what their thoughts were on that. I'm not going to tell you one way or the other what that's going to be like. The Lord knows, okay? They kind of grab some things and stretch a little bit, so I can tell you that. Isaiah 35 and 7, it says, "The parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. The whole nation of Israel will be like a garden. The world will be as God originally intended it to be, beautiful and productive." We read earlier about how the lions lay down with the lambs, praise God. There's widespread peace and justice and spiritual blessings. Nature has changed. There's abundance of food. There's prosperity. It's nothing like what the world is today. All the factors that are in the world today that produce poverty and violence and crime and fear and broken homes and distress and sickness, they will be non-existent in the millennial reign on this earth with Jesus. Think about that. Praise God. The earth will be in what I call its golden age that God originally intended for this earth when he made it. There's no politics. There's no strife in government because Jesus is ruling. Says he's going to rule with a rod iron. He's not going to, you start rebelling against Jesus, you're not going to be here. You're going to be gone. There'll be no politics or strife in government. There'll be no flooding. There'll be no more volcanoes like in Guatemala is killing all those folks. That won't happen anymore. There won't be any mass murders. There won't be shootings in the schools anymore. No hurricanes destroying life or property. There'll be no more world crazy dictators threatening war, nuclear bombs and missiles. Because Jesus is going to be in charge of all of it. The lifting of the curse brings about an incredible change in nature of the animal kingdom. That wonderful scripture that I referenced earlier is Isaiah 11, 6 through 9. "The wolf shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with a young goat. The calf with a young lion. The child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. The young one shall lie down together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox." The curse will be lifted. It's going to be unbelievable. Another just description of the conditions during the millennial reign on this earth is that there will be general prosperity and incredible fruitfulness of labor in the millennium. Pastor, you mean we got to work? Are you happier working or are you happier just laying around? Come on. You feel productive and better when you're doing stuff, don't you? Of course you do. You know, the labor problems that characterize different parts of the world, they'll be gone. There's not going to be any, like we had earlier in the spring, where different states had different school teachers on strike, you know, going to the Capitol saying, we want more money for our students in our schools. We'd like to earn more money. You won't have any of that. You won't see migrant farm workers demanding a different working conditions and different pay. None of that stuff will be happening in the millennium. Everybody will receive just and fair compensation for their work and their labor. Again, in Isaiah chapter 65, verse 21 through 25, they shall, listen to this now, this is during the millennium. They shall build houses. People still be building houses. And inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. In other words, you're going to get the results and the fruits of your own labor. Nobody's going to take that from you. For as the days of a tree, so shall be the days of my people. My elect shall enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth children for trouble. They shall be the descendants of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. It shall come to pass that therefore, before they call, I will answer, and while they are still speaking, I will hear. Jesus will be right here with us. He's going to hear it. He's going to meet every need. He's going to answer every request. What you build is yours. What you produce is yours. Your fruit of your labor, you receive it. You benefit from it. The millennium will not be characterized by idleness. I do not believe that for a minute. If you're looking forward to just being idle, change your thinking. There'll be plenty to do. We'll be working for Jesus. Amen? The Word says that we're going to rule and reign and judge with Jesus. So we'll have plenty to do. There'll be an economic system, an agricultural system, an industrial system that produces incredible goods and activities for people to work and to labor, all under the direction of King Jesus. Keep in mind now, there's lots of folks on this earth that are still in their fleshly bodies. They still have the kind of needs just like you and I have today. I think there will be, this is just, you know, after reading, I can't point to any scripture, so this is just, I'm going to make it real clear when I say this. I think there will be a society of workers with knowledge and talent and abilities unlike anything we've ever seen on this earth. And agriculture and things that we make, the manufacturing, the productivity, will just be amazing. And people will have working conditions they enjoy. It's a pleasure. They'll love it because life will be great. During that millennial reign, economic activity will produce great abundance. There'll be no want. Ezekiel 36 and 29, I will call for the grain and multiply it and bring no famine upon you. Not to worry about, well, is the crop going to fail or is everything will just be working. It'll just keep working. It'll be great. I mentioned this last Wednesday night in terms of the conditions of the millennial reign. Most scholars that I've read, Dwight Pentecost and Oliver and others believe strongly that in the millennial reign, there's only going to be one language. One language representing the unity of all of us on the earth. You recall the story in the Old Testament that it's in the 11th chapter of Genesis that after the flood, there was a period of growth and expansion and the population growth. And in fact, the Bible says the whole earth had one language and one speech. Well, the Bible tells us that people gathered in the land of Shinar. And they wanted to build a temple to the heavens and make a name for themselves. You know, it's kind of like leaving God out because we're so smart now we can do this. You know what it was like. People don't do that anymore, do they? Well, of course they do. People still are more like that more than ever. They wanted to make a name for themselves, leave God out. But God came down and noted that they still all had one language. And he says, now nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. So the Lord confused their language, so they didn't understand each other's speech, and he scattered them over the face of the earth, didn't he? But in the glorious millennial reign of Christ, there'll be no need to create confusion. There'll be no need to scatter the people, because we'll all be under the reign of Jesus. Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 9 gives a scripture that theologians refer to support this claim that we'll have one language. Zephaniah 3:9, for then I will restore to the peoples a pure language. I'm going to restore what used to be, and I changed it. I'm going to restore, I'm going to bring it back like it was. I'm going to restore to the people a pure language that they all may call on the name of the Lord to serve Him in one accord. Do you see the emphasis on unity? All of us, one accord, a pure language, the same language to worship and be together and to have the unity on this earth. Not only will we have the same language, now we're going to be in our resurrected, our new bodies, right? Our translated bodies. So we're not going to have any sickness, right? But what about all those folks on the earth still in the flesh? They're marrying and having babies, and the earth is growing its population again during this 1,000-year reign. What about sickness? Will there be some sickness? Will people get sick? Will they need something? Listen to what the Bible tells us. One of the prophecies regarding the second coming of Jesus was that healing from sickness would characterize His reign. We know, according to the New Testament and recorded history, that Jesus healed many folks when He came to this earth the first time. Amen? I mean, miracle after miracle after miracle were healed by the touch of Jesus. The Old Testament prophets, they prophesy and they point to the second advent or the second coming of Christ when He comes to this earth for the millennial or the 1,000-year reign. They report and prophesy in the Old Testament, according to their prophecies, that there will be a time of healing from sickness. Listen to what Isaiah says in Isaiah 32:24. And the inhabitants, that's the people living on this earth, the inhabitants shall not say, I am sick. Did you hear that? The inhabitants shall not say, I am sick. The people that dwell there shall be forgiven their iniquity. In Isaiah 35:5-6, it foretells of all the abnormalities and deformities being healed. Now stay with me. Think about this for a minute. All those folks still in the flesh, they're saved, right? They live through the tribulation. They're still in their fleshly bodies, but they're saved. Now, do you think when Jesus comes back and those folks still in their flesh, if a few of them had some cancer, if a few of them were blind, or a few of them couldn't walk, or a few of them had scoliosis, or a few of them had dementia, or a few of them had whatever, do you think He's going to let them continue all that way, all the way through the millennial reign? Absolutely not. He will not. Listen to this word of God in Isaiah 35:6. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame leap as a deer, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing, for in the wilderness shall water break out and streams in the desert. I'm telling you, Jesus, there will be massive healing. Anybody that has any sickness or deformity will be healed because Jesus is here. Can you imagine that? All those folks of the earth healed. We have our new bodies, our incorruptible bodies, so we're not getting sick. But we understand who Jesus is healing. What an incredible thing. Many scholars teach, the scholars that I've read teach that the only ones that will die during the millennial reign of Christ will be those who rebel against Jesus. That's the only ones that will die. All those in the flesh, of course, we're going to stay alive. We're already in our incorruptible bodies. Well, those people on the earth, they're just going to keep living during the millennial reign. Say, Pastor, show us how that is. I don't understand that. In Isaiah 65:20, we looked at this already, but if you look at Isaiah 65:20 one more time, the word says, no more shall an infant from there live but a few days, meaning there's not going to be little babies dying anymore during the millennial reign. Nor an old man who has not fulfilled his days, meaning somebody that's old that dies too soon. For the child shall die 100 years old. In other words, somebody gets to be 100, they're still considered a child. But the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed. And that expression, shall be accursed, is as similar to or the same as saying they're going to die. They won't live. Okay? So during the millennial reign of Christ, the Word of God is letting us know that just you get to 100, you're still like a little kid. Think about this for a minute with me tonight. The conditions on the earth will be like those in the beginning before sin, similar to the Garden of Eden. And even though the curse came on the earth after the sin of Adam and Eve, what the Bible tells us, right? It came on the earth after their sin. This is just my thoughts now, so I can't point to Scripture on this, but please hear this. The effect and changes of the curse on the earth may not have been immediate. It might have been gradual. The curse was immediate, but the effects and the changes were gradual over many years. Pastor, why are you saying that? Because first of all, the Bible tells us that even though the curse came on the earth, the Bible tells us that Adam lived to be 930 years old. Show me somebody that can do that today. The Bible tells us that Enosh lived to be 905 years old. That Methuselah lived to be 969 years old. Noah lived to be 950 years old. All having an average lifespan of about 900 years. Do you think the earth might have been a little different then? Yes. Yes, it was. Did sin bring the curse on the earth? Yes, it did. But apparently it wasn't an immediate thing, because listen to this. It's not surprising, because we talk about during the millennium, that there'll be healing and health similar to what it was just like the Garden of Eden. Even those people in their bodies of flesh, they won't die unless they're going to rebel against the king. But it's really interesting to note this, that after the flood, you look at all these ages I just mentioned, average 900 years, that was all prior to the flood. But after the flood, the average lifespan decreased rapidly. Shem, Noah's son, he only lived 600 years. So that's a long time. Well, that's not the 900 years that his daddy lived. Eber lived 464 years. It keeps going down. Abraham lived 175 years. Jacob lived 147 years. Joseph lived 110 years. You see, I just kept going down, down, down. The earth changed dramatically after the flood due to the continuation of the curse on the earth and the massive changes that came upon this earth because of the flood. Now remember, we don't have all the answers, do we? The Bible doesn't tell us all the answers. But go back and think about this for just a minute. Some scholars disagree with this, but most biblical scholars will tell you that it had never rained on the earth until the flood. Y'all heard that before? It never rained on the earth until the flood. Genesis 2, 4 through 6. Listen to this carefully. This is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the heavens and the earth. Before any plant of the field was in the earth, before any herb of the field had grown. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the earth, and there was no man to till the ground. But a mist went up from the earth and watered the whole face of the earth. Now some will argue, some scholars that I read in my research, they'll argue that this condition of no rain and just the mist coming on the earth, that changed after creation, after Adam and Eve were created, and that had been raining all those times since Adam and Eve was created. But this is what I ask the question. If that was true, then how is it that Noah had never seen a rainbow until it rained and he was on the ark and he looked in the clouds and the first time in his life he saw a rainbow? Now, a rainbow occurs when the sunlight comes through the atmosphere and there's water molecules and moisture in the air, and because of the rain and just after the rain and the clouds and all that moisture with the sun coming in, that creates the rainbow, doesn't it? Well, if it had been raining, don't you think Noah would have seen a rainbow sometime in his 900 years? Of course he would have. He didn't, because it hadn't been raining. The earth was covered by mist that came up from the ground. Think about it. The whole atmosphere of the earth was different then. That's why people could live to be 900 years old. That's why after the flood you saw it just go down like this. Whereas today, somebody's 100 years old, we think, wow, that's really exceptional. I saw in the news today that a little fella that was the center of the Lollipop Guild on The Wizard of Oz finally died. He was 98 years old. Yeah. We are the Lollipop Guild. You know that song. By the way, I was chosen to be that guy in my elementary school, and we did a replay of The Wizard of Oz. I know it's hard to imagine they picked me to do that part, but they did. It's amazing. You didn't know your pastor had what talents. During the millennium, not only will people live much longer, the Bible tells us of the increased birth rate of the children born of those that survived the tribulation. Jeremiah tells us in chapter 30, verse 19, I will multiply them, and they shall not be a few. I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small. Their children also shall be as before, and their congregation shall be established before me. And I will punish all who oppress them. There's going to be a multiplication, an advance in the growth of the population of those still in the flesh on this earth. And the blessing is not just for Israel. It goes on to say, Ezekiel says that the strangers, that's the Gentiles, that they'll be blessed and they'll populate and they'll bear children among you is what he proclaims. Because the Gentiles and the Jews and all those that are on the earth, they all believe that Jesus is the Savior. They're all saved. They've trusted in Christ and they're populating the earth and God's with them. And it says that they'll have an inheritance among the children of Israel. The Bible also tells us in the millennial reign that there will be an increase of light. An increase of light. It's an amazing thing. Isaiah 30, 26, moreover, the light of the moon will be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun will be sevenfold as the light of 7 days. And the day that the Lord binds up the bruise of His people and heals the stroke of their wound. What does that mean, Pastor? The light of the moon will be as the light of the sun. The light of the sun will be seven times, sevenfold, the light of 7 days. Well, the exact meaning is really brought down into a couple of different theories. Let me share with you what those are. First of all, one theory says that the light of the sun will be sevenfold. That means they think it'll be seven times brighter. And so a group of theologians went to scientists. They asked the scientists to figure out how could this be in a physical sense. After research and mathematical computations, they concluded that for the sun to be seven times brighter, the Earth's orbit would have to change. It would have to be closer to the sun. Now, doesn't that mean it'd be a lot hotter, right? Well, it seems like it would. But then remember, now God's in control of all this. And things change. We may not have all the answers, you understand. So the one way would be to get it closer to the sun. The new orbit, by the way, as it got closer to the sun, that new orbit would move us much closer to Venus. Probably halfway closer to Venus, according to the scientists. And so the duration of the Earth's revolution around the sun would also change. And it would enforce the effect of the increase of light from the moon. Because when we see the moon, what are we seeing? All we're seeing is a reflection of sunlight against the planet and it coming back to Earth. So if we're closer, it makes it brighter. That makes sense, doesn't it? So that's the scientists, that's their ideal. Of course, the other part of that is, well, it'd be terrible climate change, it's going to get too hot. Well, again, God's in control. The Earth's going to be beautiful and wonderful. Another theory is the possibility that the speed of the Earth's rotation will be seven times slower. Now we know today that the rotation of the Earth is every 24 hours, right? It's a day. That's the rotation of the Earth. But in the Scripture is saying that the light of the sun would be sevenfold as the light of 7 days. That's what the Word says. So some theorists say, well, what that is saying is that the Earth's rotation, instead of being completed every 24 hours, it'll be completed every 7 days. You follow that? And so the light will be as 7 days because it's turning so much slower. And it could be, it's possible that the moon just could be closer to the Earth, making it brighter. We don't know how God's going to do it, but this is what the Word tells us. That the sun will be seven times brighter, and the moon will be as bright as the sun. Which means when the moon's out, there's not going to be much darkness, is there? When the moon's not out, I guess you could have a little darkness for a little while. But the earth's going to be different during this 1,000-year reign of Christ. It's incredible what we'll have. Next Wednesday night, we're going to look at more of the conditions of the earth during the millennial reign, We're going to look specifically at Christ's government. We're going to look at the scripture that says when he comes back, there's a great valley or cleavage that is formed from the Mount of Olives, from the north to the south, and what that means exactly, and why is that? And what about the exaltation of Jerusalem and the giving of the new boundaries for Israel? It'll be the boundaries that God promised when he gave the promise to Abraham, not the little slice of Israel that we see today. And all the tribes will be given their land, and we'll examine and see what that's going to look like. And the Bible also tells us, in the millennial reign of Christ, there will be a new temple that is built. Now, this new temple is not the temple that is in place during the tribulation where the Antichrist goes in and commits the abomination, desolation, and all those things. That temple that will be on the Temple Mount that we know today, that will become the old temple. Because the Bible tells us in prophetic word, and all the scholars agree on this very strongly, that there'll be a massive new temple built in the land of Israel. And it even gives the dimensions and the size. It's much bigger than anything that's ever been built for a temple. We'll examine what's happening in that temple, what's the purpose of that temple, and specifically, we'll examine why the Bible teaches us that during the millennial reign, there will be sacrifices again in the temple. If you're like me, you say, well, wait a minute, wasn't Jesus the ultimate sacrifice? Why would they do that? Our logic says that, but let me share with you what God's Word tells us about sacrifices in that temple during the millennial reign of Christ. It's amazing. It is incredible. And I love this study because it just reminds us of the promises of God. Amen. It is a great thing, what we have to look forward to, how this earth will be so different than we know it today. And then heaven and earth will pass away, and all things will begin new. There'll be a new heaven and a new earth and a new Jerusalem. Amen. I've made the comment before that sometimes when folks I've met, you can go ahead, brother, folks I've met have